This is the Voyeur Window, where we take a peek into the world of sexual fetishes. I'm Empress Violet.
And this is Mistress Jane, and welcome to the show. Our stimulating topic this week is slave training.
This was a huge hit last time we covered this.
It was, as it should be, because all you boys and girls need to know your place.
Absolutely.
Yes. And honestly, you know, it is something for those of you that are newer to the show or have found us on the new platform that we're on, is something that Empress Violet and I have a tremendous amount of both personal and professional experience in.
Yes.
We are beyond lifestyle.
It's interesting because I know sometimes phone mistresses take an entirely different approach to owning slaves and submissives and training them than they would if they actually were meeting with them in person, which we don't do with our clients, strictly phone and text sessions. But personally, I take the same approach. I want it to be as real as possible. I want it to be as intense as possible because to me, that's what really someone who wants to be a slave, that's what they're looking for.
Definitely. Definitely. And I just think, you know, and for those that are not aware of slave training, because we put it up there and I'm like, boy, this could be misinterpreted 7 different ways. You know?
Oh, that's so true.
What do you think about it? It is. It is. You know, it's a BDSM term in which one is the dominant and one is the submissive. And, you know, the common term for a submissive is a slave. So what this is about really is incredibly consensual power exchange between two people.
And very
and, you know,
often... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to let you mention, too, I mean, you're right, it's the intensity of the situation. And I think when you have that power exchange, there's very few things in life that are as intense as that. I don't think it's something that people realize when they hear it. Or, you know, they read the stories. Or, goodness, on the Internet, I mean, it's just everywhere. Google is an awesome machine. It's like training.
And I've had people ask me, people who don't own slaves or have never been a slave, why would someone be drawn to that? Why would somebody want to do that? And I always try to educate. I mean, partly what we do on this show as well, we like to entertain, but we like to educate as well. So here we go. Most of the people who, in my experience, enjoy being a slave, let's just say the majority of them, are not really that submissive in the other aspects of their life. As a matter of fact, many of them would be what you'd call type A personalities with kind of high-powered jobs, careers, and what they want is a break from that. They want somebody else to take control for a while. It's just an amazing stress reduction. It balances them out. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but you'd be surprised what kind of people are partaking in this on a regular basis.
Oh, most certainly. And I remember, too, when I had first gotten into the scene, into the kink scene. You know, I had heard this before. In certain ways, I had felt, and this is when I was really new to it, I had thought to myself that that was like an excuse. I really did, because I'm the first one to admit when I'm wrong, which is rare, everybody, but I am. Once in a blue moon.
Write that down.
Yeah, don't get, Yeah, exactly. Like one of five times you'll ever hear me say it. But I thought, okay, they're just trying to justify their actions because there are a lot, and I heard this much more about male slaves than female slaves. And in dealing with both, I had heard more men say this to me than women who seem to have just, you know, accepted it and seemed a little bit more actually at ease to me with their servitude and their submissiveness. And I thought, yeah, whatever gets you through the day. You're saying this because you have difficulty admitting your submission. You need a reason to do it. You know, but then the longer that I played and the more that I dealt with people, I most certainly did see that trend. I mean, you're absolutely right. So I just wanted to clear that up for people who are listening going, yeah, they're just trying to justify what they do. No, there is a huge amount of people into this. I was shocked that do have that type A personality, like you said, that are, you know, the high-powered executives. You know, I used to laugh when I was doing live sessions. People would ask me what I do, and I say, I spank lawyers on their lunch hour. That's what I do. So, because I did. I'm telling you, between like 11 and 2, every day, I was busy.
That brings up an interesting point, Ms. Jane. What is it with lawyers and being
slaves? No, it is, right?
Oh, my God. You know, I've experienced it in my personal life, and I'm experiencing it big time doing this phone sex mistress gig. I have a lot of clients who are attorneys or partners or own a law firm. Yeah, I mean, submissives and leanings towards slave, if not outright slave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there is that trend, and I have often wondered, too. I have. Sometimes I joke, and I say, let me guess what you do for a living. And they're like, okay, you're a lawyer. Yep, how'd you know?
They're like, really? Oh, my God, how did you know that? Odds mm-hmm. were good.
Yep, exactly.
I have to tell you something really interesting about a slave who is not an attorney. My slave, Jeff, who is from down in the southwest part of the country, he is in slave training, very intense slave training, and he bought a toy to surprise me, and we're using it right now, too. It's an internet camera that I can control remotely. I can turn it to the right. I can go up and down, and he's got it on right now so that I can see him while we're doing this show on slave training. Isn't that so cool?
That's awesome.
I know he's listening to us right now. I see a smile on his face.
Hi. Harder, faster, deeper. No. I'll help. How about that? Harder, faster, deeper.
He's laughing. So, you know, there's some amazing things that help like that. I think it was Slave Jeff that I had told about this toy. I think we got on this track of remote-controlled toys that make it really nice for training a slave long distance like we do, where we'll never meet in person. So the only way to get your hands on them is something remote-controlled. When right now I can get my eyes on him. He's right there waving to me and smiling. But I had told him about this fabulous toy, and you and I have talked about it before, too, and that is that remote-controlled vibrator that your mistress can have the controller, and it works anywhere in the world.
Oh.
You can turn it on. You can turn it up, off, down. So we were talking about that, and then he's a tech wizard guy, and he surprised me and got this remote-controlled webcam camera, which I am loving, and he's promised to get a second camera so I can, like, when I give him remote spankings, I can see the backside as well as his face, which I think is a very important thing. I can switch from camera to camera.
That is incredible.
It's all part of
nice.
Ways to add the realness and the intensity, because if you were part of training is also sometimes, I have to say, my slaves know how I feel about this, but everybody listening out there doesn't know. Spankings are not always a punishment. Spankings can calm you down. Spankings can put you to sleep. spankings can release a lot of pent-up emotions that a slave desperately needs to release. Maybe they're very buttoned up all the time, very reserved, and they need that way. It's just an excellent way to really relieve a lot of that stress. And I know Slave Jeff is asking, should I call in now? I'm just going to tell you, yes, this is an excellent time to call in now.
It is.
So, absolutely. Feel free. This is a great time. Earlier, the better, Slave Jeff. I mean, they want to hear from us, but they want to hear from slaves, too. Like, what is it like in the modern age to be a slave? What is it like to be owned?
Oh, well, in short, it's happiness. But for a longer, right? Well, it is. It's happiness. You know, there is a lot of comfort, I think, that people don't realize as well. Of course, it's exciting. It's wonderful. But there's a lot of comfort, like you had said. There's so many different emotions that are tapped into with someone who is a slave. It's fantastic. And, of course, you know, the old joke that the submissive gets to be the center of attention. I know a lot of people think, no, it's the mistress. It's the mistress or the master. Well, most certainly it is. It is. But we are in charge, and we're dictating it, and all of our focus and all of our energy is on you. So you get to bask in all of that wonderful attention. I think that's a huge part of it, too. You get just to bask in being told what to do. And normally, like with me, I tend to be very exacting with my slaves. I really do. So, you know, there's like a really narrow margin that you can screw this up when you serve me. Because I try to get rid of all of that. I do. I mean, so I'm very, very clear with them on what they need to do. And, you know, there's a beauty of it. When you're away from your mistress, you can anticipate what's going to happen. You can dream of it. The next time that, you know, you speak, it's a wonderful thing.
It is, and I think we should talk about, like, what do we do? What do we mean by slave training? For myself, it depends on the kind of slave. If they're a service slave, first I'm going to be training them on proper respect, how to present themselves, how to interact with me and with other parties of my household. And then it gets into the specifics of how I like things done. So, you know, that's a biggie too. And it depends on the type of slave. Do you want to address that a little bit?
You know, I think it does. It really depends because each slave has a purpose, really. And I think it's very important in slave training when somebody enters the dominant's presence to be very open, honest, and clear about what they feel is the best way that they can serve. Because it is that two-way street. I mean, there's no sense in having to go the long way around the barn, right, when you can have a direct line there so that you can train your slave also in what the slave enjoys and what you enjoy. So I do believe there has to be a meeting there. There has to be that chemistry that goes on when it comes to slave training, or else everybody's just wasting their time. You know, just, you know, people will call me and they will say, I will do whatever you want, mistress. Oh, my gosh. No, terrible. Do not tell me that. Just don't. Because that's the situation. It really is. Because, you know, what am I going to want to do, Empress? What do I love to do? I'm going to pee on you. That's it. Like,
not on
anything.
Me.
Yeah, well, no, not on you, ma'am. But I will let you do it to me. Just putting it out there. But the thing is it that to them, that's it. Or, you know, there's things that everybody has hard limits. So when people enter into my presence to serve me, the first thing that I like to define is, what are the hard limits? What don't you want to do? Where is that line that should not be crossed at this point? Because, you know, limits change as time goes by. But right now, where are we at? So
the boundaries push back, don't they?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, do they ever. Do they ever?
Yes, maybe Slave Jeff could address that when he's able to get through on the line. I know he's trying to call in. Oh, there's one blinking for us right now.
Let me see.
Okay, here we go. Now, is Slave Jeff on the line with us? Not sure. I know he's calling in. He said he's having trouble getting the phone answered on the other end. There's something going on. But while they work that out, I want to say I have that same experience. People will call in, and they will say things like, I want to be you. I just want to serve you. I want to belong to you. And I'm like, you know what? That's to be decided. First, we're going to get to know each other, and I'm going to tell you what it requires to belong to me. And I don't ask for the sun and the moon, just some basic things, checking in regularly, basic respect, a respect of my time is a huge one, those kind of things, you know, and some people can't handle that. Within 2 weeks, pretty much, they've washed out or they've proven themselves.
Right. And that's it, too. And I think you've hit on something as well. Respect for time is incredibly important. It
yes,
is.
We're probably their only mistress, but they're not our only slave. And that goes for our personal lives as well. I know Jeff is online, too, right now. So we should bring him in because we're kind of talking about him roundabout. He just
I would love to.
Hello, mistress.
Hello, slave. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. It's so nice to be able to see you while we talk to you. I wish Miss Jane could see you, too.
Yeah.
Maybe she could.
I do. I want to see.
I can probably give you that URL, but we should have Slave Jeff talk a little bit because you are a professional man who is owned, and I think it would be very interesting for listeners to hear from your point of view what that's like.
Well, I heard the beginning of the show when you're talking about type A personalities. I don't know if I'd call myself a type A personality, but I certainly wouldn't think of myself as submissive in my professional life at all. I'm very independent and can be assertive when I need to be. But I didn't know that I wanted to be submissive or a slave until I spoke with you. And we talked about a few things, and you just sensed it in me. And at one point you said that you... I think one of the things I had said is that when I make love to a woman, I enjoyed for her to, it was more important, her pleasure was more important to me than my own, and I wanted her pleasure to come first. And that's when I guess you seemed to key in on that idea, and you told me you thought that I would be a slave boy. And I was very shocked by what you said, but I couldn't dismiss it either.
I remember that initial conversation, Jane, because Slave Jeff told me, oh, I don't know about that slave thing. I don't know. I can't address that right now. And then in a matter of weeks, he's like, I think you may be right. And that's a good example of how boundaries change as your perception changes and your knowledge. I mean, this whole thing was very new to you, too, wasn't it, slave?
Yes, it was. I knew I liked teasing. I knew I liked some level of denial, but I had no idea that I would enjoy this. And, you know, our relationship is still fairly new, so I'm still learning, but it seems pretty intense, and I get a lot out of it.
Yes, we talk about a lot of things on our calls, and that's another thing is when Ms. Jane and I do these type of sessions with slaves, everything is so individualized, and that's true in our personal lives as well. Every person is different. What they need out of it is a little different. How they get it, what they need, is different. And so our approach as a mistress has to be different. You can't just pull a little card out of a box and say, okay, we're going to start with lesson one, and this is lesson one for every slave. No. You know, the slave Jeff, you have very specific goals in mind, just like every other slave I have, and yours are very unique to your life, correct?
Well, I guess that's true, although I'm discovering those goals. I didn't call you having those goals in mind, but I just followed my emotions. One of them, I guess, was to be open with you and to... one thing I am in my life is guarded with my emotions. And so having an environment in which I'm not only can, but am required to be very open emotionally was appealing to me. And to admit to you my desires when I know them, and to put in your hands control over the decisions about what should be done regarding those desires.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of titillating and a little nerve-wracking to hand over control for that kind of thing, isn't it?
It is. It's. I guess it's just the way I'm wired. It really appeals to me erotically, but I think there's also something else there that I just enjoy being submissive to a woman. This is something that I want in my personal life as well, I've decided. So that's what you're helping me, maybe that's what you're referring to. That is one of the main things you're helping me to learn or to think about, is training me to be able to have that to seek that out in my personal life in the future.
Absolutely. Have you encountered that with your slaves, Ms. Jane?
I have. You know, as the relationships grow, I do believe that there is that element to where people begin to seek that out or to take that next step. Because, you know, it's so difficult. People think it's so easy, and I'll tell you something, it's not. It takes an incredible amount of self-courage and fortitude to even just pick up the phone and be open and honest with us about what you want to do. And I find a lot of times that's a great starting point. But never do I think this is so easy for people. It's not, because, you know, I'm sure, as you had said, Jeff, there you were thinking about it. I know you didn't initially go into it like this, but that comfort level led you to it. It took a lot of courage on your part. It really did, to reach that realization. And I find that I have a lot of callers that as time goes by, they definitely begin to be bolder in their personal private life, seeking out someone that meets their needs. And I think, too, once it's out in the open a little bit more, it's a beautiful thing, because you can become whole and you can find that happiness with a woman that is dominant, and it fills a lot of voids. It does. I mean, as a dominant woman myself,
I'm very much anticipating that.
Yeah, exactly, and it's a beautiful thing, trust me. I've got the Vita in his her cute little cage right now. I'm like, I'm going to go talk about slave training. And he's in the cage, Ms. Violet, because he said inappropriate things about you today. Side note.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Bad, David.
Well, it was very nice, you know, but, you know, we don't say the word tits about you and how beautiful yours are. And he kept saying, I meant breasts or cleavage. I'm like, it's just too late. Now you're screwed. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing, though. Honestly, I mean, we have a great thing, and it fulfills me to have that type of relationship. So I'm so glad, too, that this is going to where you're looking at it and looking for this, too, in your personal life. And I'm so glad, too, that you found Empress Violet to help facilitate it. It's
oh,
a wonderful
my.
Thing.
Yes.
I am.
She is wonderful. She's many faceted, too. That's one of the reasons the relationship grows, is you learn more about the other person and what kinds of things you can share with, because of how broad their experience and how deep they are as people.
Some mistresses have this thing where they don't like to share anything about themselves personally with a slave. That's not my personal philosophy. I strongly feel like it's imperative that the mistress and slave get to know each other really well on many levels, spiritually. A big thing for slave Jeff and I is spiritually. And you know, that's something we talk about a lot and is important to both of us. But, you know, it's that's not how it is. So, I mean, for everyone, and if that's not the kind of mistress you want, there's mistresses who will be extremely strict and just give you punishment. There's mistresses who will be very remote and cold with you. And, you know, it's just like you do in the dating world or when you're seeking good friends. You have to find that connection that clicks for you. Same thing in this world.
Right. And it's true. And there's definitely, I believe, a place for that very, you know, strict or cold mistress, because I believe there are people that need that, that have compartmentalized who they are a bit when it comes to their kinky side. And I often find those that, you know, crave that immensely, you know, tend to go in spurts. Like, they're not comfortable. How's that supposed to explain this? They're not comfortable yet, you know, and they're always going to crave that cruelty, and cruelty can be wonderful, too. But it really can in the right context. But those people tend, in my experience only, to be those that hold back, hold back, hold back, and then they just must have an absolute binge, but yet they don't want to get too attached. So it's easier to seek out that person. You know, it is. It's easier thinking, okay, I'm going to get this out of my system for the last time, right? It is. And I'll never do it again. And so they seek out people, I believe, that are a little bit more distant so that they don't feel that relationship and they don't really have to deal with that part of themselves as much.
Have you ever gone through something like that, Slave Jeff? Have you ever felt that way?
No. Well, I would never have sought out a cruel mistress, I don't think. It's just not my style. But I never felt, I think there was a connection between you and me, I'm sure of it, that caused me to want to go farther with you. What was making me laugh, Mistress Jane, was when you said they'll never do it again. But I doubt that's going to be true, because when you have these things inside of you, they don't just stay inside, they don't just go away.
That's right, and that's what they discover, isn't it? Because they're back again.
Yes.
Eventually, they're back again because you cannot change your basic nature. And in my opinion, it's not healthy to try to do that, which is why I find it very sad when someone calls me and tells me that the only reason they're calling is they tried to get their significant other to indulge them in some way with their wanting to feel submissive or feel like a slave, and they refuse to do it at all. And they're sad, you know, because it would mean so much more to them to be able to do that with a person they love that they're already committed to. That's their preference. But it isn't always possible, is it, Ms. Jane?
No. No, it's not. And I will be a broken record on this. It is better to find an outlet than to deny yourself this, because once you do, if your partner is not interested and really just puts his or her foot down and says, no, I am not spanking you, or I'm not, whatever it is, I'm not doing it. If you do not seek out some kind of a release for this, it will affect your relationship in ways you never imagined. I've seen it happen so much. I have, because there's a resentment there and there's a frustration, and you know you can't bring up what the real issue is, so what do? You start fighting about everything else. Everything else. Until it basically disintegrates. It does, and it leads to just unhealthy behavior. So I'm a huge proponent in, look, you may love your partner. That is wonderful. That is great. But before the resentment gets to the point where it's just a total deal breaker, call someone. Deal with someone. Find an outlet that does not threaten your relationship. Someone who's respectful of your relationship. And go do it.
I know.
Go to
for myself, the last thing I want to do is mess with someone's personal relationship. As a matter of fact, I will go to huge lengths to be discreet and to make sure that things don't get to a point where it interferes with that relationship, because that's not what it's all about. I see this as our role, a big part of it, is to help them keep that relationship intact.
Mm-hmm.
and enhanced it, perhaps.
Exactly. You know, my cousin called me. This is a funny story, right? And it was one of those. It was a great story. Yes. No. Well, no. I of course, because it's about me. I think it's great. But of course. But no, I love this. She calls me. She had just gotten married. Now her husband really went wrong about this, like the wrong way. But that's okay. So they had actually like lived together prior to getting married. There's no inkling of kink here, right? It's vanilla, vanilla, vanilla. No problem. They get married, and I don't know if he thought, like, okay, I got her now. I have no idea. But he walks into their bedroom. This is how he approached it, wearing a thong, a leopard print thong, because she described it to me, and, like, this Hugh Hefner jacket, and he had these paddles, and he threw the jacket off and put the paddles on the bed and bent over and said, I am very, very naughty. And she, like, stared at him because she had no clue. No, and there was, like, nothing. No indication. So he's going to get spanked. So, of course, she, like, spanks him a little bit and calls me. And she is freaking out because she's like, nobody mentioned this to me, and he wants me to tie him up. And because I spanked him, he thinks this is fine, and I don't know if I'm into it. And I told her, I said, your best bet is to give it a whirl because I promise you, if you don't, this is going to ruin things. Or he will, you know, seek out other alternatives. And she had laughed and said, like you. I'm like, bingo. But not me. I won't. Somebody. And I had gone over there and taught her bondage and slave positions and everything. And they have a wonderful time now. But I do not suggest putting on a song, throwing paddles on the bed, and saying you've been bad with no warning.
No.
After 3 years.
It's funny.
That's
because
bad.
Occasionally we will get a caller who says, I really want to get my wife or my girlfriend involved in this. And I really don't know how. And I know that all the ladies that I'm close with, like Ms. Jane, we've talked about it, and we all very firmly agree that it has to be done very carefully because you probably have one chance to introduce this properly with the significant other having the most open mind.
Mm-hmm. And not everybody has me to call. Not everybody's my cousin. Okay, because she knows. You know, she's aware of my career, and she knows the Zeta, and, you know, that I don't hide. I'm discreet, but in my private life, I mean, you know, I don't hide a lot.
You are who you are, Ms. Jane.
I am who I am, and I'm pretty proud of it.
There you go.
I had a question for your slave, though.
Good.
Do you feel that your boundaries, because this was, have, since you've been interacting with your mistress, do you feel that your boundaries, we were talking about that, as a slave, have gone a little bit further than you thought? Do you feel like it's still in line? Are you having, you know, I guess the main thing is, are you having feelings and thoughts you didn't think you would have before?
They've gone a long way.
Have they?
One of the main activities, yeah, one of the main areas is in chastity. I never dreamed I would be interested in chastity, but I am.
This is another funny story. On our first call, when I mentioned chastity to Slave Jeff, I thought it was going to be a deal breaker because he's like, oh, I don't know if I could do a whole day. Now, what's the longest you've gone now in chastity?
Well, I tried to go longer, but 2.5 weeks, which ended in a mistake, but I offered to Mistress Violet a gift that I would go the entire holiday season until New Year's Day. So
awesome.
That's what I'm doing now.
And
it is
a
not
mistake?
Easy.
No. Because I thought you said that was a mistake. I'm like, was it? No. You'll reach the other end of it. It's going to be beautiful.
He said it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. He's been having some trials, but, you know, that's the thing. You'd call your mistress, and you email her or whatever, and we talk about it, and we come up with a way to handle that works for both of us because, you know, let's talk about the realities of life here in the middle of slave training. Slave Jeff has a career. Slave Jeff has you know, people in his life that depend on him. He has things he has to take care of. And if he can't get enough sleep because his cage, and I'm talking about a cot cage, keeps him awake all night long or even most of the night, then I am not doing a service as a mistress to make him wear it all night long, every night. You know, so, you know, you have to train with that as well and train around things that come up like that.
Right, and for those that are listening too, chastity training can be a very important part of slave training. You know, orgasm denial is a huge thing. And actually control of orgasms in general, masturbation schedules for people, very popular in slave training as well. And I was wondering, Jeff, could you describe your device to our listeners? I love this. Could you? Oh, I love that. I do.
Well, the device I have now is called the CB6000. And there's two versions of it. One is the normal size, and one is the smaller size that's more restraining, and I have the smaller one. But it's clear plastic, and it's, you can Google it and find it online. I think it costs $150, something like that. It's not cheap, but, you know, it's not totally unaffordable. And I find this device works really well. Most of the time, but when you're sleeping, you know, you get, just try to get an erection, and it gets a lot of pressure, and it wakes you up, and it may even be a really strong burning sensation. At least for me, that's been the case, but I know Mistress Bonnet would like me to be able to lock me into this longer term, so it's important that I try to train myself to accept that if I can.
He's been doing very well, too, Ms. Jane. I think, you know, finally he had too many nights in a row that he wasn't getting enough sleep, and we had to make a few little changes, like if it becomes so uncomfortable and you're not able to get to sleep after a certain amount of time, take it off for the night because of all the things we talked about. And I know it looks like we have Chris on line three. So did you have another question for Slave Jeff before we thank him?
No, but I do hope that you will call in again. I do.
and feel free to keep performing on cam through the show, because I'm keeping that up throughout the entire show, so don't think you can run off. You know the deal.
I will remain here, Mistress.
Thank you for calling in.
So you know, feel free to send screenshots of it to me. Okay. Jane at EnchantrixEmpire.com. Go ahead, feel free. With your mistress's permission, of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Slave Jeff. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, we have Chris. Are you there, Chris?
I'm here, Mistress. Yes.
Oh, is this little Chris?
Yes, it is.
Have you been listening to the show, little Chris?
I have been.
Did you hear us talking about attorneys and how they tend to be submissive?
Yes, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're just baffled, aren't you, honey?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I got to tell you something, Ms. Jane. You might not know this, but little Chris was my first slave when I started working here at LDW Enchantrix Empire. So he's been
really.
He's been with me almost since my second week, so he's been with me for a year and 3 months.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, so, you know, we actually have gotten to know each other very well, and I thought that he's recently came back after having some big changes in his life, and we reconnected probably last week again. It happens occasionally. So
had a little bit of a hiatus, yes.
You did. Yeah. Sometimes life takes us away like that, doesn't it? But that doesn't make the connection.
It happens that way, I guess.
And it does, but we talked about that earlier, too. I think that, you know, in slave training, that's an excellent point, and in a BDSM relationship, you know, it's like anything else. You do have to realize that life happens. you know, that's it. And there are things that just need to be taken care of. Not that I don't want to keep people in chains and tied up and spanking and, you know, peeing on them all the time. Sometimes, you know, you got to go to the store. No, you have issues that come up. Would you share with us how, you know, either little Chris or Ms. Violet, would you share what kind of slave training you've done together?
I'll let little Chris talk. I've been talking so much.
Great.
I'd love to hear you talk, mistress, but there's all kinds of different things, I guess. We've explored many different things. It's been a very enjoyable long-term relationship, I guess. Long-term chastity, well, long-term for me anyway, for 30 days or so, 35 days or so.
Not easy for little Chris others? Either. I'll just tell you that right now.
Not easy at all. Yes.
No.
I thought the your along with the discussion of attorneys, which I found interesting that many attorneys are calling in, I guess, was the discussion of other significant others and how that whole situation comes into play, I guess. I found that kind of amusing.
I can understand that because you have managed to, I mean, since we first talked, and I know that your beautiful wife would sort of play along, and now I feel like she's taken a few steps further along with that. Don't you?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, she does. And I think having the relationship with you has really helped that along, that I kind of understand more what I'm looking for in a submissive relationship, and that allows me to express myself to her kind of in what I'm looking for as dominant, I guess.
That makes me so happy to hear, because that's a huge goal for me. I mean, I really want everybody who belongs to me knows this, but, and I know Ms. Jane knows this, but I want to enhance my slaves' lives. I don't want to just be there to control you. That's fun. I love it. But I want to enhance your lives in whatever way I can. I want to be a positive presence in your life in whatever way you need me at the time.
Well, you most definitely have been, mistress. I think that's as a... I don't know. I think the one of the things that has been very I don't know if as cheesy as it sounds, touching to me, one of the things that the relationship part to me was you know, in this hiatus that I took, I guess, or when I'm away for a little bit, the fact that you touch base and say, "Hey, how are you doing? What's going on?" sort of thing. It just means a lot to me. Means, you know, I appreciate the relationship aspect of the dominant-slave relationship, I guess.
So do I. I mean, I know, Ms. Jane, you and I have talked about this, and it's like, it's so much more than most people would realize unless they experience it or know someone who is involved in this lifestyle that will openly talk to them about it. I don't think people understand the depth of these relationships.
Exactly.
It's one of the things
right.
that drew me to this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is something, I believe, too, that people, I think because it's a different kind of bond and because it deals with that power exchange, that people automatically expect it not to be a connection. You know, I think it's difficult for people that are outside of the scene to understand completely how, you know, these activities can go on, but yet you can still care deeply about each other. Because domination really does have that kind of gloom and doom and whips and chains and, you know, and dice.
Yeah, the leopard print song and Spank Me, I've Been Naughty is all fun, but there's got to be something else there.
For most people, there does. I think the dabblers are the ones who least need that. They can call maybe every few months, twice a year, whatever, when the mood strikes them, and they don't really want to get to know the mistress. They don't really want to share anything about their personal life. They just want to get their immediate need met, and then they're done. Or maybe they go to a pro dom out in the community somewhere, another city. They get their need met, and they're done. That's different. That's not a slave. That's a person who has submissive needs getting their fix. Totally different. I think that there's a huge difference between a submissive and a slave in the approach, first of all. Ms. Jane, we go through that conversation. Have you had a lot of people ask you, like, well, what's the difference between a slave and a submissive? Have we lost Ms. Jane? Oh, goodness. I cannot hear Ms. Jane.
I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, my goodness. I think we lost her. I can hear our caller, little Chris, but not Jane. So hopefully BBS can get our Ms. Jane back on. You may need to recall her. And I will just say that when people ask me that, which is one of the very first things people ask, what is the difference, you know, and we were talking about that with Slave Jeff earlier, too, that what's the difference? I really think it's your approach. Do you want to be owned? If you want to be owned, then that means you need to be a slave. I mean, that is a slave mentality. You want to be owned. You want to be controlled more closely, in more depth. You want a deeper connection with your mistress. A submissive it can also be a lifestyle arrangement, but it's a different relationship. And I really do want to hear Ms. Jane's feedback on this, too, because it is a big issue, and I know our listeners are going to be thinking about that, too. Well, I always thought I was a submissive. I wonder if I'm a slave or vice versa. And it's good to hear different mistresses' opinions on this and the explanations, because one thing I found out is I can explain it, and maybe it just doesn't ring right. It doesn't make sense to one person and another one. They totally get it. So you need to hear it from different people till you make sense for you. Now, little Chris, did you know that you wanted to be a slave? I think I remember having this conversation with you many moons ago.
I was just thinking of that. I don't think I did. I think that that's one of the things that appealed to me about you was the difference between wanting to be a slave, wanting to be owned by someone, versus just wanting to call in every now and then and be a submissive. Call in thing, and that was fun. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. But there's a different level, I guess, of being a slave, of being owned by someone, and a different level of submission to that I think.
Definitely.
I really enjoyed, that I didn't know that I was looking for.
Ms. Jane, did you hear what we were talking about? Or I'm not sure when we lost you on
I
the call.
I came at the very interesting tail end about what I think was the difference between being the submissive and being the slave.
Right, and I was hoping that you can explain what you feel is the difference, because I was telling them I found that different people hear it from different people in their explanations, and it rings true with different explanations. So I gave mine. Why don't you give yours?
Well, I didn't hear yours, but here is
good.
Mine, because we were having technical difficulties. But I believe truly, you know, a submissive is someone who desires to serve and does serve. And they can do it wonderfully, truly. But they have not yet found their mistress. Because the word, when someone is a slave, the connotation is that there is a dedication and relationship to a mistress. That's how I look at it. There is a submissive is more fun play. Not that it's not all fun play, but it's more lighthearted. It's not normally with just one person. they serve many people at once. But I feel a slave when you, it's the same thing, because as a mistress, you have submissives, at least I do, personal experience only. I have submissives, and then I have collared slaves. And there is a huge difference between the two. Submissives are wonderful, and I enjoy dealing with them, but a collared slave is dedicated to me, and we have a deep bond. It's not just fun playtime. It's deep, and we're on a true journey together. So I believe that that is the difference.
I like that.
With a slave, you have goals.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I hope it helps some listeners tonight, because you can bet there's people out there who are listening going, oh, my God, I might be submissive, or, hey, I think I might be a slave. I might
right.
want to be a slave.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. And the one
okay,
thing.
Sorry. Do we have more callers?
I believe we might. But, you know, I did have one quick question, too. I did want to ask little Chris how he had felt. I don't know if I got caught before I'd asked. So if you discussed it, you can just fill me in later. But I wanted to know how he felt as Chastity went by. Did that increase your submissiveness the longer that you were in Chastity?
Definitely. Definitely. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I think that Chastity is a thing that, I mean, you have to be in the right, you have to be the right mindset, I guess, to do it. I think the key for me was that we had developed a relationship beyond that. It was probably, I don't know, you might know better, Mistress, 6-7 months into our relationship before I did the Chastity thing for 30 days, that it had developed as 3 days here, 5 days here, that kind of thing, and it had turned into, and then all of a sudden it was a let's go for the, you know, 30 days, I think, which was, well, for me anyway, about as long as I think I could last, but... Yes, it definitely increased my submission.
Oh, I see. See, that's what I was wondering.
I think
because
the key also was to call in frequently. At that point, I was able to have, I believe I called in weekly to Mistress Violet and was able to talk to her weekly and expel any frustrations or, you know, deal with. That I think the key to the Chastity to me is the is it's not lack of I don't know, touching, lack of attention, just lack of orgasm. If that makes sense.
It does.
Because one thing that's important too, like and both of us experience this on a daily basis, we have major stroker boys who call us, and that means people who stroke at least once a day, sometimes twice a day, three times a day, four times, five times a day, sometimes on their way to work, on their way home, under the desk at work. And one of the things... One of the things that must be addressed immediately with that is some self-control. And so, you know, starting to scale that back down, and I'll tell you why. It's because it cannot be good for anyone. They cannot focus on any important aspects of life when they're spending that much time on their cock, focused on stroking their cock and sexual release. So there's a time and a place for it, and at work, isn't it? And when you're trying to do other important things, like you're under a deadline for something or even something important is supposed to be taken care of at home, is not the time. And so I think we do our slave boys a service by helping them control that and regulating when they stroke, how often they stroke, when they get release. Plus, it's fun for us.
It's a
win-win. It's a win-win. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a win-win.
Completely.
And Little Chris laughs. Sometimes it takes quite a lot. If somebody's used to stroking like that, it's very difficult for them to start cutting back. But I have never met a stroker boy yet who didn't thank me for it and end up absolutely craving to be more and more thoroughly controlled.
Right.
More and more. Take more of my stroking away from me, mistress. Have you heard that before, Ms. Jane?
Yes, I have.
So
it is music to my ears.
This week.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
I think that's one of the key things that I absolutely adore about you, Mr. Spada, is that your understanding of where I'm coming from as a stroker boy is that it's, you know, I want to just stroke all the time. I'm in the tease and denial already. You know that when I call in. So
mm-hmm.
that means I'm going to, you know, stroke and tease and deny myself already. But to have someone take control of that and say, here's when you can stroke, here's when you, you know, put me on a schedule sort of thing, that was big for me. That was a very important step, I guess, into being a slave.
I totally agree. I absolutely agree. And, you know, I have to say, little Chris, we're just about at the end of our show already. This hour has flown by, but
it
has been so nice talking with Slave Jeff down in the Southwest, talking with little Chris, who's more in the Midwest, and getting all these different feedback, because I think it's fun for our listeners to hear from the slaves themselves, too.
Yes, and I think so, too. So thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, little Chris.
Thank you both. You have a wonderful show. I missed the chat,
thanks.
But thank you very much.
We hope to hear from you again.
Definitely. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to say, because last time I think we completely forgot to mention, that you can find us at www.voxerotic.com. That's probably the best site to find us at, or our blog, which is www.thevoyeurwindow.com. And you can learn more about us and read our interesting blog entries that kind of correlate to our show topics. And this is Empress Violet. You've been listening to The Voyeur Window. You can tune in next Monday night when our topic will be strippers and strip clubs.
Boom, chicka, boom, boom. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. And thank you all for joining us. We will see you next Monday at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time when the window opens again. One little last note. For those that want to hear downloads of our past shows, you can find that information on our blog at www.thevoyeurwindow.com. So good night, everybody.
Good night.